You're listening to the Footglish podcast. Love football, learn English. Tottenham Hotspur, champions of Europe. Are Spurs fans dreaming or is this reality? Were Spurs the better team against United or not? Would Tottenham fans taken 17th position in the league and winning a major trophy if someone had offered this to them at the start of the season? And what does nowhere near something mean? Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another episode of the Footglish podcast. It's been a while. I don't record a podcast every week as I used to because, you know what? Why is that? I don't know. I guess I have burnt out a bit. I guess I am not as into football as I was before. It's been too much of football. So I think this is a wonderful opportunity for the listeners to catch up with us, with me. And with my friend David, aka Jenks. Which one do you prefer, Jenks or David?
Either is fine. Probably David for your listeners is better.
David. David from England. Yeah. A Tottenham fan. We are going to talk about Tottenham, but before we do, this is the Footglish podcast. Everyone, it's a podcast where you can learn English through football. And David,
yes,
I have to start like this. Tottenham Hotspur, the Spurs, with a trophy, and also champions of Europe.
Something which Arsenal can't sing. And that will probably be sung at the first game against, that will definitely be sung at the first game next year against Arsenal. Champions of Europe, you'll never sing that.
Yeah, absolutely. You are going to take the piss now because we have done that for a long, long time.
Yeah, because I'm not surprised that you haven't been watching football for a while because Arsenal since, obviously, you got knocked out and the West Ham are having a poor season.
It's so part of that, you're right.
If your team's not doing well...
You're losing that interest. Like, you're still sort of supporting them, but you're losing that interest. Yeah, you might be right, to be honest with you. Yeah. But anyway, so how are you feeling? How are you feeling about this?
Changing the air club. Obviously very emotional. Mm-hmm. It was quite surreal. It didn't sink in straight away. So the game was at 2 a.m. here in Vietnam. Mm-hmm. Watched it in a pub with a friend, and then obviously there were other Spurs and United supporters there. Mm-hmm. Great atmosphere, really friendly between the supporters as well, which was nice.
Yeah,
big, a lot of people in the pub. Just surreal. It was surreal seeing those images afterwards of like Son, Bissouma, Romero. It's like because it's something that hasn't happened. Yeah. I mean, I was at university when we won the Carling Cup in 2008 with Berbatov and Keane.
That was in 2008.
And I cried then. I was super happy then because that was the first real trophy for me.
For your team.
I remember for my
team. You also touched the trophy, not physically, not like for you personally.
Yeah. Obviously, on Football Manager, I've won a lot more. No.
You'll be the game football manager.
In 1999, the one before that was 1999, but I'd have only been 10 or 11. I don't really remember that, to be honest.
Yeah.
Yesterday was... I mean, we've had so many great teams, especially that Pochettino team, which is probably the best in England
when you got into the Champions League final?
Yeah, even a bit before that. The one a little bit, probably the season before, because that year we weren't great. But that we were probably the best team statistically for 2 years.
And
Kane and Son, that
amazing duo, like when they were like scoring left, right, and centre, right?
Even for that, like Delic, Eriksen, Dembele, world class players in every position. There wasn't a position where you could
Gareth Bale,
Gareth Bale was before that. Yeah. But the Walker, Alderweireld, Vertonghen, Rose, Dembele, Wanyama,
Christian Eriksen,
that team was far better than this team, but they just couldn't get over the line.
But this one did it without Harry Kane as well.
Yeah, which is ironic. I wonder what he thinks. I know he's won his Bundesliga, but...
He had to leave for you to win something.
I bet he regrets it now. Because, I mean...
Do you think he regrets it?
Yeah, I do, because I think... I mean, he obviously went to Bayern because he knew they'd win.
Wait. You think he didn't go to Bayern because he thought he wouldn't win anything with Tottenham?
Yeah, he knew it was a risk staying at Tottenham. You're not guaranteed to win, but you probably won't win at Tottenham. Well, but at Bayern, he picked a club that obviously will win, probably with or without him.
Well, they didn't win anything the first season, though.
Yeah, but that was ironic as well.
That's because he came.
Yeah, but they won the previous eight. So, I mean, he didn't choose a club like Napoli, which might win or might not win.
Hang on, you're speaking about Napoli that won the Serie A.
They're not guaranteed that, are they? Even Liverpool. If he went to Liverpool, they're not guaranteed it. Man City are the favourites. He picked a club that he knew he'd win. So if he stayed there long enough, there's no way Bayern weren't going to win like four years.
That is true. It was guaranteed.
I think that's part of the joy of last night. It was just kind of Wednesday night. It was like disbelief. Like for
how many nights did you celebrate this, Jenks? You don't even remember when you won.
Right, I took the day off work the next day. Why?
Did you? Did you?
Yeah.
What did you? So David here is an English teacher, viewers. So what did you tell the headmaster then? I'm sorry, boss. I can't come to work because Tottenham won the first trophy since 2008.
Obviously, I took it off a week or two before. I said Tottenham are playing that night. I'm going to watch it, and I won't be in a state to be at work the next day. Right. And it was funny because I watched it with my colleague who did have to go to work the next day because he hadn't thought ahead. So yeah,
right. You were the smarter one.
Plan ahead with Tottenham.
You plan ahead with Tottenham.
Quite important. Wow. I'd say I watch most games. Yeah.
Okay.
Even now, there's Premier League.
But did you like scream like that? That pub you went to—it's like an Irish pub, right? Here in Dunang. Did you like celebrate properly? Like were you shouting and screaming?
Yeah. Everyone. There's where we watched the Euros in the summer.
Or Spurs fans in the pub. Or?
Probably outnumbered. Man United are everywhere, so
yeah.
I would say it was like 70-30% Man United fans.
So did you like take the piss or out of them?
It's not really. It's not really my style to do that.
No, that's not true. Like when I went to watch the North London Derby, I remember what you did there. Like,
in real life, I'm like that, but not in football. It's too tense for me.
Okay.
I'm too nervous. I'm too tense. I'm very, very tense with football.
All right.
So I'm quite well behaved.
Yeah, that's good, man.
Yeah,
I thought of you. Like when you won it, I thought of two people. Yeah. Andre, who has been on this podcast, my other friend, and you as well, because I don't have that many Tottenham fans. Yeah. And let me tell you this. So I'm an Arsenal fan. So obviously, we never want to see you win anything at all. And you will probably think the same about Arsenal.
Sure.
But to be honest, like I'm not that bothered anymore because you guys have signed Antonín Kinský. Who is the Czech goalkeeper.
Yeah.
And for that reason, I'm not unhappy that this happened.
Yeah, you're more of a Czech fan, aren't you?
I'm a Czech fan. So for me, I'm more of a Czech fan than I am an Arsenal fan, I would say. That's why I also sort of lean towards supporting West Ham while the Czech boys are there.
I get it as well. I think social media has made rivalry become a bit nasty and become not really what it's about.
No.
Social media is so like rubbing it in your face, like the whole mockery of the trophy thing. That wouldn't have happened before social media. So even like when West Ham, I'm from Essex, so it's West Ham, Tottenham kind of territory, more West Ham than Tottenham actually. Mm. So when West Ham won the Conference League, my brother's a West Ham fan, I wasn't like unhappy because of him. And he's the same now because of this
I think some people are just more reasonable and, you know.
Like, they're buying the whole social media kind of fandom.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, they are like over-exaggerating everything, the channels.
Perhaps if you live in the area, it's different. If I live there and I had to go to school with a bunch of West Ham fans, then I'd be...
But still, it's okay if it's a bit, you know, it's part of that banter, that part of that culture of sort of you take piss off your mates because, you know, it's just this... culture, right? It's fine, I think. It's football. Like I used to play football for 20 years, everyone, so I remember the rivalry, and even if it's two villages that are next to each other. You know, so that's fine. But like I said, for Antonín Kinský, for the Czech goalkeeper who is number two at the moment, I think, at Tottenham, I'm very happy for him.
He played a few games recently too. He's been playing
in the Premier League though.
Played the last two or three games in the Prem.
Well, this is the bizarre thing, because apparently he got the medal.
Yeah.
He got the medal, which he wasn't supposed to because he wasn't even part of the team, of the European team.
And Son didn't get it.
And Son didn't get it. So
we got it later because there were 50 that we got, but he didn't get it for the presentation.
Obviously. Who made a mistake? Was it Kinský being cheeky and trying to just get the medal or something?
I think probably No, I think you've got a UEFA or...
Because Son, of all people, he's the captain. Well, he's the heart and soul of your team, right?
Romero didn't get it because he went up just before Son as well, obviously. Romero,
that makes things better.
Probably our best player. Yeah, it wasn't just Son, there were three of them.
Oh, really?
Like, Kinsey got one, he's not registered. Sergio Reguilón got one, he's not registered. So it was a bit random.
But to finish my point, David, yeah. So the reason I'm okay with this, I can't say I'm happy, sorry, but I'm okay with this. Because of Kinski, because of him having the chance to play the Champions League. This is a bizarre season for Spurs, right? You're currently sitting 17th. In the 17th position, right? Which is like the worst ever.
Well, we got relegated in 82.
Okay, well, apart from that, only because there are three worst teams, all of them were promoted last season, right?
Exactly.
Leicester, Ipswich, and what was the last one?
Southampton.
So now it's you there, and then obviously Manchester United are 16th. So it was the strangest thing that had ever happened in football in years. And you managed to clinch. I think what I will say about this is that your season, you can consider your season successful, while United, it's an absolute disaster. So that's what it came down to as well, right? It was such a game of... nerves, I would say.
It was an awful game. It was, but for the supporters, it was very gripping. But I'd imagine if you watch it as a neutral, it would be quite. I don't know. Maybe it was still.
Watched the first half. I couldn't watch the rest. I'll be honest with you. I just didn't like it at all.
Yeah, so if you're not for one of the teams, but if you're for one of the teams, it's very, very, very tense. I don't think you can really compare United season with Tottenham season because people always say, there's injuries, but. So they don't. They say there's an excuse, but then they just discount it completely.
Yeah.
I think Tottenham season. I think you can make excuses for Tottenham season. Sorry. I think the first half is. The first third was okay. We were kind of in and around Europa League, Champions League positions, and then we got hit by awful injuries. And this, I'm talking like Christian Romero, Mickey van der Ven out for 3-4 months, and. Other fans don't understand how good those two are.
You had other teams that this happened to. It's not just you.
No, it was just us. Man City had injuries, but nowhere near the extent that Tottenham had these injuries.
Okay.
Man City are an oil club who have the money to buy whoever they want.
True.
As you can see in January, they just spent 200 million or whatever on the best player in Germany, best defender in France, and just solve their problems like that. That's what they did. They bought Kusunov, and they bought the Frankfurt Marmoush guy, and also they bought the Portuguese or Spanish midfielder too to replace Rodri. So they put money in it. So
that is true.
Whereas Tottenham, we know Tottenham don't work like that. Romero is an unbelievable player. Some fans realise this, some don't. Like, his passing out the back. So in terms of playing Ange ball, you can't really replace that without Romero. Van der Ven also with his pace, you can't replace that.
So is this the reason? Like, is this the main mitigating factor why the club stuck with Ange Postecoglou? Because this was the amount of pressure he must have been.
Between November and February, it was injuries.
Yeah.
And that's why they stuck with him, because we were playing. Not only our backup team, but also like Mikey Moore, 17-year-old young players were filling the bench, not great players as well, by the way, and also unbalanced. We bought Archie Gray from Brentford, from Leeds. We had to play him centre back. He's a Championship midfielder, 18-year-old. We paid him centre back. Like, that's unheard of. Our centre backs were a left back, Ben Davies, and Archie Gray for 3 months. Like, I'm sorry, but. You can say that's an excuse, but that is a valid reason why
to end the season.
We were doing bad. But then, so then up until February, that's the reason. Then they came back. And then what happened is we realised that we were too far from the Europe positions in the league anyway. We weren't going to get there. And players were coming back and they were getting injured straight away again, like crazy. Even Kulusevski and Madison came back out for the final. I mean, how mad is that? Bergvall, Madison, and
Kulusevski. Because I think there was too much load on them.
I don't know what it was, or bad luck. So we've been awful even recently, but I think that's because he's been playing the B team in the league.
Because he started focusing
because the sole focus was Europa.
And you did it.
And he's
and this is Europa League, so it's a second sort of second tier You could say second-tier European Cup, because it's not the Champions League. But
it isn't,
still,
but it's still actually...
Like, when West Ham won the Conference League, they were so happy, the fans were over the moon. Yeah. So now you did something similar.
This is the old UEFA Cup. It's actually a
massive... It's higher, one level above.
But it's also a massive competition. Like, I think when it's called Europa League, it's not doesn't sound as, like, good. But the old UEFA Cup was really, really celebrated.
It's respect, man. And, like, and you get that Champions League spot as well. Oh, my God. It's, like, honestly, such an important...
But I didn't care about that. Honestly, the only thing I cared about was winning the trophy.
Of course.
Because for Tottenham, we've been in the Champions League. Yeah. Like, we've been in that a lot.
Okay.
But that UEFA Cup.
But it's nice as a bonus, isn't it?
Yeah, sure.
Sure, next season, Champions League. And, let's be honest, you can attract better players
maybe,
now.
Maybe, but I think that's all hypothetical. I don't think... That's up to the business people of Tottenham, whether they change their transfer targets and things like that. I don't see that. I don't see the 100 million we got for Kane. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
I just care about...
You don't get the money, right?
And I also think there's things like loans that you can work your way around it, like take out a fight. And Tottenham are very good with the PSR at the moment anyway. So
what
it helps is cash. With cash, but... So, a trophy.
So basically, I have to ask you this, but I think I know the answer already. So if someone had offered you, before the start of the season, if someone had offered you, hey, David, you will almost get relegated this season, but you will win a trophy, would you have taken it?
Yeah, of course.
You would have.
Because our previous 16 years have been either finishing anywhere from second to fifth and no trophy.
Hang on, there's part two to this.
Yeah.
What if you had been relegated?
If we'd been relegated?
If you'd been relegated, because you are only one spot away from...
With a trophy. That's a more interesting question. Yeah. And actually, it would have been more interesting if one of those clubs weren't there this year, and Man U, West Ham and Tottenham were fighting for not being 18th. Because then it would be like, do you play Europa? Or do you put... You'd put your first
what
team
What do you
in
prioritize? Right?
So for me personally, I don't know, actually. I'd probably still take the trophy.
No,
but the club would have definitely taken the...
It's so humiliating, though. Like,
because, what? Next year we'd have been in Champions League and we'd have been guaranteed to win the championship.
Yeah, but you wouldn't be guaranteed to win the championship next season.
Yeah,
would.
You would. Tottenham.
It's hard. It's a hard competition with 20 teams.
But if you kept the players, you would... I think Tottenham's squad is...
Would you keep the players after
I still think Tottenham's squad... Yeah, because you'd been in Champions League. So you probably would have done. I actually think Tottenham squad is probably the fifth best squad in the league, fifth or sixth probably.
I still think of you as the top six team.
But look at the back four of Porro, Romero, Van de Ven, and you don't get that much better in the Prem than that. Mm. And you've got Maddison, Kulusevski. There's quality throughout the team. It's not a 17th place team.
Fair enough. But in this game, you have to say in the final, you were not the better team. I was looking at the stats. You only had one shot
in
total.
But the game was played in our terms.
One shot. Can you imagine? 12 shots.
And had a game plan.
But I watched the stats. I didn't see the second
exactly.
half.
You got to see the second
but
half.
I have to say this, viewers. Tottenham had only one shot on goal. No shots off goal, no shots off the target. And Manchester United, 6 shots on goal and 6 shots on the target.
But if you watch the game...
But hang on. But the XG was similar. It was 1.0.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So I think it was a game, whoever got the first goal was going to be massive favourites to win.
Yeah, it's like an old cliche, score first.
Because neither team were good at breaking a team down, we didn't have... For us, it's because we don't have Maddison and Kulusevski. Yeah. For them, it's just because they're a shit team. So when Johnson scored that goal... And said, right, we're sitting back. We back ourselves to win 1-0.
Right, and it was a scrappy goal as well, right?
Yeah, but but actually, the build-up did... It was Bruno Fernandes who played in the six. Sarr intercepted the ball. And there was a few patterns there that led to the goal.
Yeah.
Although the ending was scrappy like a handball. Yeah. But it was a worked move. But then we just said, okay, cross it into the box. We brought Danzo on. We went 3 at the back. So I think we were the better team because we played it on our terms.
I don't think so. And Ondra doesn't think so either. But
is he a Spurs
fan? My friend, he said we were not the better team.
Definitely the better team.
I think you are right. No, you're right that when you say it was played on your terms, I think that's fair because like you were winning. And I think at that point, like the whole season rested on that, like let's park the bus. It makes sense because it's really all about the result.
Yeah, but what did Amorim do? Amorim was awful in that game. So he kept... there's a clip of in the 88th minute of him still being three at the back, and then three and one up front. And you know who the one was? Yeah. Harry Maguire.
All right, let's leave it there because I think you have some guests coming. Your dog is barking. Okay. It's been fantastic to have you on the show. Enjoy this wonderful win.
And you said you were going to put on a Tottenham shirt if we won.
No, so I'm not putting any Tottenham shirt.
That's what you said.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Language Corner, and as always in this part of the show I'm going to be teaching you something because I'm an English teacher. That's right, that is my job, and I might as well clarify some vocabulary from this episode. This is the most common thing to do for me in these episodes, right? I used to do some grammar and pronunciation occasionally, but let's be honest, this is the one that a lot of people need, right? A lot of people need to expand their vocabulary. So let's go. This one comes from the context of Jenks and I talking about Tottenham's injuries. I think David used this as an excuse of why Tottenham season hasn't been really good, right? He blamed the failure of the season on the injuries. Specifically, I was suggesting that potentially it wasn't just Tottenham, right, that struggled with injuries. There were other teams like Man City. They didn't have Rodri and so on. But to that, Jenks said the following. He said, Man City had injuries, but nowhere near the extent of Tottenham. And this is the phrase I would like to look at. Nowhere near something. If something in English is nowhere near, often it's followed by as well, if it's then followed by an adjective. Nowhere near as good as something. Nowhere near the extent of Tottenham. It means it's far from that. It's not at all near. It's really, really far. So, yes, Man City had injuries, but you cannot compare it to how many injuries Tottenham had. They had way more injuries than Man City, right? Nowhere near the extent of Tottenham. You could also say, this is this part of the show, this language corner, is definitely interesting, but it's nowhere near as interesting as the interview part of the show, which means the interview part of the show, the main bit of every episode, is probably more interesting, or is much more interesting in this case, if I say nowhere near, much more interesting than the language corner, which could be a bit boring because it's a bit nerdy, right? It's not for everyone. I understand everybody has a different taste, but let's be honest. I think the main reason you guys listen to this episode or watch it on the YouTube channel is that, it's a discussion about football. You just want to maybe hear two people talking about football. Okay, so hopefully this is clear and you enjoy learning about this phrase, which I believe is pretty common in English. Now, one thing I need to say is that it's coming to an end of this season, right? We are finishing this. There's like the Champions League final, and then there will be the Euros under 21s, perhaps. But that's it for this season. And most of the leagues have already finished. And what does it mean for this podcast? Well, what it means for this podcast is that I will still keep going, but probably not as often as in the past. And to be honest, you probably noticed that I don't publish episode every week as I used to. There were times I even published two episodes every week. Listen, you have to understand, I'm a busy person and I've got other podcasts too. And there's been a lot going on in my life lately. And yeah, I would like to keep this up. But to be honest, I'm a bit disappointed about the level of interaction with the listeners of this podcast. It's not enough. Even on the YouTube channel, I was expecting you guys would talk to me a bit more. You would leave comments, tell me what you think about the episodes. Most of you just listen and that's it.
And that's why I don't really have much feedback. I don't know if what I'm doing makes sense, if it's interesting enough for you. So I'm kind of losing motivation. And I'll be brutally honest with you. I'm thinking of starting something different at this point. Saying that, I don't think I'm ready yet to let this podcast go. I think I'll give it a bit longer before I make the decision. However, it could mean that these podcasts will be less frequent, perhaps once a month or something like that, because I quite like talking to my friends like David about football. I just think it's a wonderful opportunity to catch up with football fans of different football teams. And that's also one of the reasons I do this, right? I don't just do it to help you guys. I do it for myself too, just to have fun. Yeah, but like when you do a podcast, you need some sort of audience that will support you as well. And I think there's not enough of that here because I don't see any comments. I barely see any likes. So, yeah, please don't understand it as me having a go at you. It's just I'm describing the reality of it. I know there are a lot of people doing similar podcasts and there's a lot of competition as well. So obviously, perhaps I'm not good at promoting myself, or I don't know, maybe I need more prominent guests, like influencers on the podcast. I've had a few well-known guests, but wasn't enough. So basically, the future of this podcast is in doubt at the moment. We will see what happens. All in all, thank you very much for listening to this episode. And if you want to support this podcast, and if you want to help me, if you want to revert this sort of decision that I am considering of letting this podcast go, then it's really you that can change it. It's no one else, right? It's me, I guess, too. But you guys have a huge power. If you support this podcast, if you give it likes, comment, and be if you are interactive, then you have a huge power. You can change things around, like Tottenham did in their season. So let's see what happens. Thank you very much for listening, and I'll speak to you soon. Take care, everyone.